For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thought maybe we were going to take the week off, but there's been so much news going on that we felt like we needed to get on and do an episode and chat about everything, like transfer portal. We've got guys going to the NFL and Heisman. The Heisman happened over the weekend. So do you want to start there, Gary?
Yeah, let's talk Heisman. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, how much we want to talk about it. Look, I understand Daniel's winning it. I've seen the numbers. If you have the numbers, that's fine. In comparison, and you know the four finalists. I sort of watched. I tried to watch some of the ceremony, whatever they call it. I kind of got bored of it. I thought it was kind of stupid in a way, so I didn't watch it. I just waited to see who got it. Now, do I understand why Daniels was the guy? Yeah, sure. His numbers were unbelievable. However, for me, and this is just me, I don't know all the criteria. I know some of the criteria. But I think winning matters. Now, I think it was Lamar Jackson who won it, and he had three losses as well and stuff like that. Well, that's fine too. I just think when you're, I think they were 9-3, it matters that you win the games, and that's why I still think Penix should have been the guy. So, but I would have gone if, say, Bo Nix. The thing is, Bo Nix lost twice, and he lost twice to Washington. He lost twice to Penix. So I would put Penix over him, though Bo Nix had some stats that were better than Penix, I believe. I can't remember all head-to-head. But be that as it may, I still think Penix, because they were undefeated. He had a stretch of games that weren't that great. I get it. Yet they were decent and good. But he was undefeated and won the Pac-12 championship. And a lot of that came off of his play and his ability. So for me, it's still Penix. Though I get why Daniels got it. I don't know. That's my feel. I would have given it to Penix for that alone.
I mean, we kind of talked about this a few weeks ago that I felt like over the last month, there was this push by so many in the media around the country that it should be Daniels. And it felt strange to me because it was like it came out of nowhere. But then for all of November, all of a sudden, all you heard from anybody is, oh, Daniel should win, Daniel should win, Daniel should win. And there's a lot of this that frustrates me. I kind of feel like a lot of people had cast their vote before the end of the season, which they're not supposed to do, but I kind of feel like a lot of them did. And they were just following kind of what everybody was saying. Not to say that Daniels doesn't deserve it, but at the same time, it's a 9-3 team versus an undefeated team. And I think, and I've heard a lot of people compare it to the other guys who've won it in like 3 and 4 lost teams. You said Lamar Jackson, I think, RG3 might have been one of the other ones. But when you have that up against a guy who is an undefeated, he won his conference championship, He's going to the playoffs. Like, shouldn't that count for something? And the stats, I feel like, are off because Jaden Daniels, let's just talk about their November schedule. So the last month of the season, who LSU played versus who Washington played. So LSU played Alabama, so they lost that game.
Yeah.
They played Florida, which, as we know, has been a very up and down team, but you'd probably would say not a super competitive team this year. Georgia State, which I know he threw for a bajillion yards that game and a bunch of touchdowns, and a lot of people are saying he just stayed in the whole game just to pad his stats, which I think he absolutely
did. Absolutely he did.
And then they played A&M the last game, which again, A&M has not had a great year. Versus Washington, their November schedule was USC, Utah, Oregon State, Washington State, and then playing Oregon in the championship game. So between those two schedules, I know it's SEC, SEC, but come on. Washington played at the time four out of their five games were ranked opponents, whereas when LSU played, they only played Alabama, who was ranked. Like, there's just so much of this that really bothers me because I think overall Penix deserved it. I think the SEC bias is there. People can come at me for saying that. I absolutely think it's there.
Let me just throw in there is, of course, Caleb won it last year. So I would think, okay, we don't want to give it to the Pac-12 back-to-back years. Come on. It's got to be some of that. Who knows exactly what everyone, why they do it, where they don't do it, but I don't know.
There absolutely is. And so I double-checked on this, and I'm going to get the comments working. I think they're not working right now, but so just hold tight, everybody. I'm going to get to those in just a second, but I know you're all dying to argue with me.
Argue.
So you're going to have to wait for just a second. I've listened to Joel Klatt and I've listened to a couple other guys. I think I was listening to Josh Pate about it. And I went back and looked for the last, so since the year 2000, the SEC has 9 Heisman winners. The next highest is Pac-12 and Big 12 are tied at 5. Now, if you take USC out of that, Pac-12 only has 1, Mariota from Oregon. So there has not been, if you take USC out of it, it's like USC is the dynasty team. So they're like the only ones on the West Coast that they ever give any credence to or whatever, that they give anything to. So if you take that out, there's only been 1 Heisman winner, like west of Texas in the last, since the year 2000, which is Mariota. So this is my point. Like, if Penix was playing for even, let's say, Auburn or like one of these SEC teams, he would have won. He would have. Like, there's just, frustrates me because I feel like he absolutely should have won.
But in the end, I get it why Daniels got it. I'm not butthurt over it. But I would have gone Penix. The funny part is, I think Utah fans can remember when Daniels played for ASU. Remember when he came into town, we kicked the crap out of him? I can't remember the stats. I think we beat him up, didn't do anything. It's kind of funny to look back at that.
I know. I can't.
But so, okay, there, you know. That's it, I guess.
It's frustrating. I think there's a lot of, again, there's a lot of bias to it. I think there's a lot of, I was listening to Josh Pate, and he was talking about how many Heisman voters there are. There's like 870 voters or something crazy like that. And his point was just, there's no way that all of them are super invested in college football, that they watch every game, that they can even answer like questions about college football. And so to me, that just proves more of it's the bias. It's just the team the guy plays for plays more into it than anything else. That's, I don't know. So I was disappointed. I think Penix absolutely should have won it, and that was too bad.
Hey, well, let's go the other big. So the portal is open. Thousands of guys have gone into the portal throughout the country. I guess before we give any thoughts on the what we think about the portal per se, maybe just refresh our minds on Utes who are, in fact, some who've coming back, those who are leaving for the NFL, then those who have entered the portal, and then we can give our thoughts about the portal generally. But yeah. I guess the who we know, the big one is Cam Rising is coming back, as we've known for a while. We have Vaughn's coming back, secondary, which is great. It's going to matter. And then DeMooney, linebacker, he's coming back. And then, of course, the other guys. So those are the big names. We don't know from Keithy yet. Now, whether we'll know, so this portal window is open. I don't know if it goes 30 or 45 days. Someone will know. I can't remember. But then if he hasn't declared, I mean, there is another portal that opens up in the spring, and you know, it could happen there. So we don't know about him yet. So anyway, those are guys that we know are staying that had some question. Now we had guys who are going into the NFL. Obviously, they didn't go to the portal. They're just leaving to go into the NFL, which is, you know, Keaton Bills is gone. That's a loss. Vaki, obviously, that's a big loss. Cole Bishop and Devon Vele all are declaring for the NFL.
There's one more.
Who am I missing?
Lauamea, which he didn't put out like an actual post.
Was he a senior or was he a junior?
Well,
I can't remember offhand.
He was a junior. He accepted an invite to the like Senior Bowl or something. So I think people are assuming that means he's going to the NFL, but he hasn't like officially put it out like the other guys have. But he's just another one that seems like he might be doing that, going to the NFL.
Okay, so that's, you know, I being selfish, I wish they were all staying, obviously, those who could. Because we're going to miss Vaki and Bishop and Vele and Bills. I mean, gosh, dang.
Did any of those surprise you that they're doing NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Understandable, but I'm actually kind of surprised with Vaki.
Yay, the comments are working.
How do I get him to show? Oh, there we go.
There you go. Okay, hopefully if you're here live, then hopefully I just saw a comment pop up by Serenity and Jeff Slaymaker. So hopefully you can now comment. Sorry
thank
about
you,
that.
Thank you.
Again, this is a new platform for us. This is our first time using it, so we're working out all the kinks. But
okay, let me just say this. To be honest, Vaki's a sophomore. I feel like he could use another year. I know he did a great job, but the NFL is a different animal. We all know it. All big, all fast. It's just a different level. And I hope he's ready because there's, you know, no coming back.
Yeah, that was Vaki Bishop. I'm super disappointed in, you know, losing anybody to the NFL, but I want them to go and have awesome careers. I would love to have Bishop for another year. I'd love to have these guys for another year, but Vaki really shocked me. That one really surprised me. I think because I was not expecting that one because he didn't do the senior day thing. So he wasn't really on the radar of that. Because like you said, he's only a sophomore.
I just feel like he could have used another year. Mr. You know, I'm the expert here, so I don't know. That surprised me. Vele, he's a junior. We'll see. I think maybe we don't know his full talent. Maybe it's like Tim Patrick.
Everybody else who declared as a junior.
Cole Bishop, I hope it works. The guy's a player. He just has the instinct. So, how do you ever know if one more year is helpful or not? You're always the risk of getting hurt. I mean, I'm sure they're getting advice from NFL scouts, talent agents, all that kind of stuff. I bet it's a tough decision. But Vaki, I don't know. That's the one probably of the guys that I'm probably most surprised about.
John W. in the chat, he's, you know, saying Vaki probably got agent advice, which I think is true. I mean, that's, you'd hope though that he'd listen and of course all these conversations happen. I mean, Witt has all these conversations with these guys and helps them decide what is best for them and the timing of everything. But you do hope they're being smart and listening to the right people. Cause there's also people out there that just want to try and make some money, and the players want to make some money, but I would have loved, I think he could have used another year, and we could love to have him for another year.
So let's just throw out some names who've entered the portal. On the one hand, when you hear transfer portal and people hit the transfer portal, it's not like everybody that hits the portal, you've lost all your superstars. I mean, it's easy to think that. Uh-oh. I saw just a tally. I think it was today or yesterday. I can't remember. But somebody said Utah has been hit hard with the portal. They've had like 12 guys or something like that. So on face value, you hear that and you go, freak. That's a, you know. But if you actually look at the names and you realize that the majority of those leaving have had no impact on the team and possibly won't have any impact going forward. For instance, Noah Benny, he's a tight end sophomore. We have King, someone else. I just think the writing's on the wall, so he's moving on. Broughton is leaving. That surprises me, I got to admit. That's one of those that does surprise me. Mikey Matthews is the other one that surprised me a lot. Kind of aggravates me, to be honest with you, but I can talk about the portal in a second. But that kind of stuff, I don't know. Mack Howard, quarterback, freshman. I mean, he sees the writing on the wall. You've got Cam coming back. You've got Rose already in the system. You're going to have Wilson, and then they've also recruited another kid out of high school. So that would make some sense. Bryson Barnes. Let's talk Barnes. I understand that too, and I appreciate Barnes and what he did for the team. I mean, he's one of those guys that gave his all, maxed out his, I think, maybe I'm wrong, but his ability. I mean, he just went to the end. And so I understand that he sees this writing on the wall too. He's gonna be a third or fourth string guy. So go play. I hope he has success. Here's the one thing I will say about Barnes is he's playing in the bowl game. And to me, that's classy. That's cool. I appreciate it. Unlike Johnson, when he kind of messed us up on the Colorado game. I'm just being honest. I think he should have played the game. He didn't, he could have played if he wanted to play. He left us out there with a fifth-string guy, and we threw the ball 10 times. You know, that was not cool. In this case, so if Barnes walks, who's going to be our QB? I mean, in a bowl game. So I respect the fact that Barnes is going to play, and then he'll move on, and I wish him nothing but the best and success wherever he lands. So I do appreciate that. Who else is Fabian Marks is a cornerback. He's going.
Who's transferring?
Transferring. McKay Cope.
Yes.
Wide receiver. He's a sophomore.
That one surprised me too. So him and Mikey Matthews, the receivers.
Marks. He played mainly on special teams.
Marks Lawler is another cornerback.
Medlock.
Medlock.
Linebacker, which is a redshirt freshman. Jaden Pearson, a safety sophomore. He's going to Utah State, so he'll get play time. I mean, Hayden Erickson, a tight end sophomore. I don't even know him. And Owen Chambliss, linebacker freshman.
Yeah, the funny thing is looking at some of these names and seeing that they were like redshirt freshmen, most of the time we wouldn't have seen them play. You know what I mean? But based on Utah's year and that we had so many injuries, we were going to our third, fourth string. We actually did have a bunch of these guys get play time. Whereas if you have your first string, second string guys playing all year long, you're not going to see a redshirt freshman play. So I think maybe that's what's contributing a little bit to this kind of panic mode of that you're hearing all these names transfer. These are guys who played some playtime for us this year. I don't know.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's kind of just sparking to me right now that I'm thinking, because yeah, seeing like when you see it all listed out, it panics me.
I wouldn't panic. So Amy Wan Kenobi, are any of the guys leaving for the NFL going to play in the bowl game? That's a good question. I don't know the absolute answer on that, but my feeling is that it's a no. I don't think they play.
I don't know.
Does anyone know for sure? I mean, I'm trying to think of that through, but I don't think they are. I don't think they want to take the risk. That's kind of load management.
Yeah, it seems like the only person who has absolutely said that he's playing in the bowl game is Barnes.
Yeah, but he's not. The question is, the guy's going to the NFL.
Right, but I'm saying, like, out of everybody who's declared for the draft or transferred, it seems like Barnes is the only one that has said he's absolutely playing in the bowl game. And it's interesting, I think, and we'll talk about bowl game in a minute, but
I don't think any of them are going to.
Yeah.
They're not
transfer
going to.
Transfer portal.
Yeah, let's talk transfer portal. I'm kind of curious what other people think about it. So go ahead, Bryn. What do you think?
Yeah, let us know how you feel about it. I've listened to a bunch of national guys talking about it and getting all sorts of different opinions. And if you haven't listened to Joel Klatt from last week, listen to his analysis, because we always talk about him all the time. I always like his takes, but I like the way he talked about it, is he's all for the transfer portal. He thinks it can be super beneficial, but too much of a good thing can be bad, which is kind of, I think, where we're at. Like, the way it's set up right now, the timing of it is awful, because you're having these guys transfer in December before the bowl games even happen. At the same time, you're trying to sign high school kids because the signing day is in February or whatever. So you've got all of that going on all at the same time, which is a huge mess. Then you can transfer now three times, I think, like three times in your.
No, I don't think that's, I don't think that's right.
It's three times, because it's once for just any reason, whatever. Right. You can transfer as a graduate.
Grad transfer, true.
And then you can apply for like this, what did he call it? Now I can't remember what it's called.
Well, it's like injury hardship stuff.
Hardship waiver. That's what it is.
It's waivers.
Which I think a lot of times most of those just get passed at this point. So it changed in 2021 is now basically you can transfer three times.
Well, you could do it, but it's not, there's just one discretionary, meaning you could transfer at any time rule. It's a one you could transfer.
Yeah, but see, now we've got guys like a bunch of the big name quarterbacks this year that are entering the transfer portal that will now be transferring to a second school. Like the, it.
Yeah, I. I'm, is, but I'm
it's
saying
so
it's when
out of control.
You're a grad transfer. You graduated, so that's not everybody. A lot of guys leave. So I'm just saying, yeah, that's true. But that, I mean, that is a unique situation. Not most guys don't ever get there and want to do it at that point.
Well, it's changing though, and it's kind of going more that direction that guys are staying in college longer now that they can make money, as we've seen. So I feel like they're going to have more of those grad type transfers. It's just, again, transfer. It's not that transferring itself is the bad part. I just think there needs to be some parameters on this because it's gotten out of control.
I hate the portal. I hate the whole system, the portal combined with the NIL. But let me just clarify that. First of all, the NCAA is crap, and we all know it. And they had a chance. They saw it coming, and the NCAA did nothing to, you know, work out some sort of system that was fair for the players and fair for the schools and for college football. But what we had, in my view anyway, just a number of years ago, the NCAA controlled everything and everybody was just beholden to them. What has happened now that it's shifted, the pendulum has shifted completely the other way. Now it's a free-for-all. Everyone's mercenaries. They can go do whatever they want. Look, I just think if it isn't adjusted and that there's some parameters made that is beneficial to players and to college football, the schools, the leagues, then I feel like the game that we love is going to be gone. It can't continue like this because think about it. Say you recruit somebody as a coach for a couple of years, you train the guy, and then your collective pays him a whole bunch of money for a couple of years, and then just on a whim, the coach yells at him. He's not playing every snap of every game, gets ticked off, or someone from a school comes along and says, hey, man, we got a bigger bag. We're going to give it to you, so come and join us. And they move on. That stuff is going to ruin the game to me. It's the other thing is, and I've thought about this, is why, under the current system, why would you recruit, and I think we'll get there if things aren't changed, why recruit high school kids? Because now, this would be different with some of the big, big name schools. But think about it. You go get a kid in high school. You bring him into your program. And say you're a mid-level or just kind of an upper mid-level type of program. You develop this kid. And then a bigger school comes along. They take him. So why go down that road? Just stick to the portal kind of stuff. Because those are guys who've already been playing. I'm just saying it could be a detriment to high school players as well. There needs to be some guardrails. As far as the portal goes, I think, you know, this is me speaking. I think it should be if you transfer, you got to sit out a year. Go back to that. It would change it all. The loyalty of schools. See, part of the fun of college ball, and tell me, I mean, the people in the chat, what do you think, Brent? Part of the beauty of college ball, and I'm older than probably a lot of you, is that there's not only the regional battles that you get in with teams and rivalries, but the school itself, camaraderie within the school, you become part of that school. That's unique to college ball. And you go to this school, you go to that school, you're I don't know. You're just part of it, and you grow with it as a player. Now that's all gone. Everyone's a mercenary. No one is loyal to the university. They can just move on at any time. It's like, so a guy comes in, for instance, Broughton. Say you've been cheering for Broughton. You got his jersey, all this stuff, and he decides just to leave. None of these guys have any loyalty to the university, to the coaches. It's all about them in the bag. Now, I understand it. I get it. I'm just saying there should be some sort of rules. I just miss the loyalty to the schools and the rivalries and all of that kind of stuff. And if it continues down this road, I just see college football, it will be gone as we know it. And I'm not happy about it at all.
Well, I mean, you've touched on
a thousand things. There you go.
On a lot of things, but you're talking about the player development, which I think is a big piece of it, because why does a coach want to invest time and effort into a player? Because you don't know if they're going to be around and to learn your system and things like that. Like, so is it going to change the way coaches work with these players and mentor? Because why do they want to put forth all of this effort into these guys if in a year they're just going to leave? And there is something to be said about somebody staying in a system for a few years and learning it. I mean, we've talked about it a million times. We're all so excited that Cam is coming back for his experience, but it's not just experience playing, it's experience in the Utah system. He knows the coaching staff. He knows the way Witt works. He knows the way Ludwig works. And yeah, there's been very successful transfer stories. I mean, look, all the guys that were in the Heisman race, except Harrison, you've Penix, Daniels, Nix, they're all transfers. I get it. There are the success stories that do happen. But the fact that now it's just like at the end of the season, you've got 30 plus guys every year that want to leave your team. And
it's going to be more than that. It's going to be like 50 guys.
Yeah. Like, where are they all going to go when you have this many people in the transfer portal at the same time? Like you said, how can you deal with recruiting high schoolers at the same time trying to find people in the transfer portal? It's too much on the coaching staff, on all of this stuff. Like, it's become
it's unsustainable. I'm just, look, yeah. I've listened. I'm not saying I'm all for the NIL, and I'm all for players having autonomy to some level, but there just needs to be balance. For instance, Roberto, the school makes millions, and for the longest time, the players didn't. Absolutely. That's correct. That's what I was talking about. Forever, the NCAA made all the cash off the back of the players. So I'm all for the players getting the money. What I'm saying is the pendulum has gone so far to where we're at right now is it's too extreme. Just ask yourself, if this was the way to do things, then why aren't the professional leagues doing what is going on in college ball? Because you know why? They know it's unsustainable and it won't work. So at some point, there's got to be limits and rules. The other thing, final thing I'll say is this. As a donor, see everything right now, and still the NCAA doesn't pay anybody. People get paid as a result of collectives.
Right.
This is part of the problem, I think, for at least a number of schools. There are some schools that just have so much money, they can lose money, and who cares? Not every school is like that. Why would you, as a donor, want to put a bunch of money into this collective to give it to some guy that has no loyalty to your school or to your program or to the future? So I'm going to give, okay, I like this guy. I'm going to put this money into the collective, and I want it to go to this dude. $1 million. So I give him $1 million. He receives the training. He's coached up, da-da-da. Next year, he walks and goes gets another million or $2 million from somebody else. It's like my investment was short-term and for 1 year. And what happens if the guy was hurt? You know, just a bunch of ramifications. There just has to be some rules for everybody that's good for everybody. Yeah, the toothpaste is not getting put back into the bottle. It's that's long gone, but we better slow this thing down. Or hey, people, I'm worried that college ball, as we know it, is going to be a thing of the past, and that makes me sad.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's just unsustainable. Again, I am not against the players getting paid. I'm not against the collectives doing the cool stuff that they're doing in order to bring talent in. I just feel like like Carol Aviris said, it's going to implode. It's going to, and I feel like we're teetering right on the cusp of it just becoming an implosion, because this year, like every year, you see more players getting in the transfer portal. And now with the more NIL money and all the collectives everywhere, it's just getting messier and messier and dicier, and players are making more money. And so then that causes other problems. Like, it's not sustainable. And I did see on Twitter right before we went live, it seems like the Crimson Collective is teasing an announcement on Tuesday. I don't know what.
Oh, really? I didn't see that. Sweet.
I have no idea. You know, last time they kind of teased something, it was the trucks. So look for that on Tuesday. What comes from the collective? Again, the stuff they're doing is great, and I'm glad we have that to keep up, because you got to keep up nationally with the other collectives that are going on. But it's just messy. It's too messy. I hope that somebody can figure it out. That's the problem, is the NCAA is, as we know, basically useless. So I don't know where it's going to come from.
I know the new president has laid out some ideas and some rules, some of which I've read. I mean, you know, on the off season and stuff, we can talk more about some of that and as some of these things play out. I mean, let's face it, the realignment and all that kind of stuff, there's no, that isn't even close to being over. So we're going to see a lot of things, but that's where we are right now. And I'm just kind of worried about it. So anyway, should we move on?
Yeah.
And I feel for the coaches.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I can't imagine having to keep up with all of that right now. And you're trying to prep for a bowl game, and you're doing, like, it's, again, unsustainable.
I watched a coach today, an ex-coach, but is well connected. He hates the portal as it is, because, you know, and he knows two coaches he referenced, and he didn't say their names because they're still employed. And they both find it really difficult to coach right now.
Yeah.
Because you say the wrong thing or do something the guy doesn't like, he just packs his bags and leaves. It's like we're walking on eggshells all the time, and it's just not as fun as it used to be. And that's not the way it should be. I mean, that's just, the imbalance isn't good. So anyway, enough of that probably. Let's move on. Vegas Bowl, baby. Who's excited? Vegas, baby. Who's going?
Yeah, who's going? Anybody?
Anybody going? I am not going for a number of reasons. But come on, man. December 23rd, that's a rough one.
That's so hard.
Oh, Amy Wan Kenobi.
Oh, yeah, Amy's going. Oh, Hunter.
Box seats, man. That's the way to go.
Box seats. Ooh, in Allegiant Stadium? Dang. Gary, that needs to be our next thing at Allegiant. We need a suite.
Yeah, we okay, pay for it.
Yeah, we need a Utah football fan suite. So hit the super thanks, hit the super chat, please, so you can fund our suite in Allegiant Stadium next time we go, because that would be awesome.
Hey, Bryn, this is for you.
Oh, no. Are you annoyed that Caleb is the last Pac-12 Heisman winner? XOXOB immediately thought of us when Penix didn't win. Of course I'm annoyed. Oh.
It is honestly annoying.
And we kind of said this a few weeks ago. I do think it played into it that they were like, we're not going to give it to two Pac-12 winners 2 years in a row. So Caleb ruined it for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, this is the one. Because we're crap. I'm honest anyway. It's pathetic. Oh, I'm sick of it. How don't you score 7 points on an NFL team? I have no idea, man.
It's just so. Oh, John, you saw the prices at the Vegas Bowl? Where'd that go? There we go.
Yeah.
What are? How bad are tickets? Like, I haven't even looked because we're not going to go. I mean, again, we were just in Vegas. We went to the Pac-12 championship game. And the 23rd is just.
That's rough. That's
so hard.
Can't do it. Hey, other bowl games. Just a couple thoughts on some of these other games. Well, let me say this first of all. Bo Nix is playing in his game.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Which, of anybody who I would, like, not blame them for bowing out, he would be one of them. Because Oregon is getting absolutely screwed in who they have to play. You go from...
What is it, St. Mary's of the Wasatch?
Liberty.
Same thing.
You go from, like, precipice of playoffs to playing Liberty. But he's, yeah, he said he's playing.
Guy's class. I like it. The thing is... with these bowl games, and it's even like our bowl game, we're not going to have a bunch of guys playing. So it's not even really our team. It's, you know, full complement of team. Now think about, so you have the Final Four, but probably, not probably, one of the best games could have been Georgia and Florida State. Florida State's been whining and whining and whining and whining that they didn't get in. Well, you know what? They have a chance to play Georgia.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Georgia. And if they go in and just destroy Georgia and take them out, then they can really, you know, say whatever they want to say, thumb their noses at everybody and see how good we are. But what I'm afraid of now is some players won't play, you know, they're going to opt out. And so how much of those real teams are going to play each other? And then they'll use that as an excuse of when Georgia steamrolls them, because my prediction is Georgia's going to steamroll Florida State. And it's going to prove the point that, no, Florida State wasn't ready to be in the Final Four.
Well, it sounds like, and again, I saw on Twitter right before we came on here, Josh Furlong from KSL, he had some quotes from Whittingham talking about Vegas Bowl prep. It sounds like we might even see some of Brandon Rose, maybe, who knows. But
I hope we do. That'd be great.
But Whittingham said how preparation for bowl game is so different. Again, it goes to everything we've already talked about, the NIL, the transfer portal, everything. Now all of a sudden bowl game prep, because you have so many dudes who aren't even gonna play. And so how do you even prep for that? Like, especially as a Utah team who already we were down to our fourth, fifth, sixth string, and now you have even more guys who aren't going to play. Like, who are we going to even have on the field? And this isn't just Utah. This is everybody.
Yeah, I don't know about Northwestern either. I don't know what their story is.
Yeah, I don't know. And we haven't started to, like, really do bowl game prep. Maybe we'll do a preview episode next week. But bowl games, to me, again, with everything else that we've already talked about, I just feel like bowl games are getting more and more meaningless.
Sad.
They don't matter. They don't. It used to be so much more exciting about a bowl game, and now nobody even plays in the bowl game. It's basically like a spring game where you're seeing the names that you've never heard of type bowl games. Like, I don't know. I don't love it unless you're in the playoffs, which next year is going to be a whole different thing. But this year, it's basically just the four teams and everything else. Who cares? It's sad.
I don't know. All right. Let's get a little lighter, shall we? Well, first of all, let me ask you this, Bryn, and the chat. What do you think about Patrick Mahomes? Isn't he one of the biggest babies you've ever seen in your life? I don't care what team you cheer for. Look, I'm a Raiders fan. We're garbage. I'm open and can say that. And yeah, I can't stand the Chiefs, but come on. Have you seen a bigger baby than Patrick Mahomes? What do you think, Bryn?
The dude is just getting destroyed this week, and it's been hilarious to watch because the Chiefs are one of those where it's like nobody likes them unless you're a diehard Chiefs fan. You know what I mean? Everyone's just sick of them. And so to watch him cry and whine, I mean, him and Caleb, like crybaby QBs, like, but just the way he went about that whole thing. And I know he's come out and said he shouldn't have acted that way.
A little late.
But like his a Texas
Goober do. Come on, man. You have to. I get it. He's your guy. He's your guys from your school, probably. But that was pathetic.
Yeah, Goober do. You can't defend, like, because the way he came out and was basically like, I can't believe they called that. They should never have called that. And they never call it before. And it's like, dude, your point, you're proving everybody's point that the Chiefs never get called on.
I saw today someone had put together the whole sequence of calls that have gone the Chiefs' way over the last several years. I mean, come on. How about you remember last year in the Super Bowl? Does anyone remember that phantom pass interference call that gave him the first down or whatever it was to kick a field goal to win the game? The dude touched him. Okay, that's enough of Mahomes. But yeah.
Actually, we're going to do some yes, no, maybe so's if you're ready for that.
Oh, yeah, and let's do a few. Do you have some? I got some. Give me one.
One of mine. Here's one of mine. Will the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl?
That will be a no.
Is that just your fandom?
That's my professional opinion. They're not going to make it. You know why? Since Mahomes was in the league and in the playoffs, he's never had an away game. The Chiefs, he's always played at home in all the playoffs, right up to the Super Bowl.
Really?
Uh-huh. Look it up. Now, with their record, that dude's going on the road, and they're going to get blown out somewhere.
So, no.
There you go. That's a no.
A no from Gary. I think I'm going to say no also, and I hope that's right because I want to see some new teams. Here, I'm going to put this comment from Amy. Go Utes. Heck yes. That game, I was not there, sadly.
I wasn't there
Gary,
either.
You weren't there. Amy, I'm guessing you were there, but I did watch it. Oh, that was beautiful. So beautful. And Kaba Keita is
who?
A beast.
What?
The guy that plays for our team. The one that looks like G.I. Joe. His arms are like tree trunks.
They look like mine. They look like my arms.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yep. That was awesome. Way to go, men's basketball. Stick it to that team down south.
So here's my question. No, here's my yes, no, maybe so. So there's a lot going on in the portal. We just talked about it. Utah's guys going to the NFL. Yes, no, or maybe so that Utah will, in fact, bring guys in who have been backups or they're going to retool from the portal or whatever happens, but Utah will come back to the pinnacle that they were this year. Everyone's panicking right now. So my question, yes, no, maybe so. Okay, it is what it is in this portal era, but will we get back to what we were at the start of the year? Well, with Cam, a premier team, and not, a couple tiers down.
I'm going to say yes, solely based on our coaching staff. The fact that at least so far, fingers crossed, we haven't had any major coaching changes. Hopefully that stays, but we know our coaching staff, especially Witt and Scally, are unbelievable at developing guys, bringing them in and developing them. So, I mean, obviously it matters who you bring in, but in a sense, it's like, I think they can bring in dudes and then get them in the system, work them, see what they're going to be the best of their ability, and then get them to a good point. Scally's the best at it.
So yeah, that's a yes.
But, you know, you kind of said offensively.
I'm saying all of the team.
The whole team.
The team we would have been this year without the injuries and Cam.
I was going to mention this. We tweeted this out from our Utah football fans account today. The defensive backs that have gone into the NFL over the last few years. So been coached by Morgan Scally, developed by Morgan Scally, Jalen Johnson, Clark Phillips, Marcus Williams, Julian Blackman, Javelin Guidry, Eric Rowe, Terrell Burgess. Hopefully I'm not missing any, but then soon is Cole Bishop, Vaki, Miles Battle. Like, those are some big names, and these guys are doing amazing things, not to mention all the other defensive guys that are in the NFL as well right now. So, yeah, I think we're going to pull some guys from the transfer portal. That's the thing with transfers. You lose a bunch, but you also we're going to bring a bunch in. And, yes, I think they're going to get them to the high standard that we were hoping for.
I'm a yes. I have faith in Witt and what you just said. So I'm a yes on that. Yes, no, maybe so. Brent Keithy will be playing for the Utes next year. What do you think, everybody?
I can't. This is a maybe so for me, and that's like a cop-out answer, but I just don't know with him because I've heard like rumors that he's going to leave, but then the fact that he hasn't announced yet and that some of our other tight ends transferred, maybe that's a good sign of him sticking around. But I think it'd be hard for him to go to the NFL right now because he has a year where he didn't play.
So what's the answer? What's your answer?
My answer is maybe. I don't have a yes or no answer. It's a maybe.
I'm a yes. I think he's playing for us next year. I think.
Fingers crossed.
The fact that he hasn't come out yet. He didn't walk, as I recall, on senior day. I bet he gets some cash, some deals. I think so. I'm a yes. I'm going with a yes. And of course, Cam. Yeah, D. Samp. I'm with. He comes back with Cam. I mean, that's absolutely. So I'm a yes on that. So. I ask you, Bryn, will you go to an away game next year in the Big 12?
Oh, that's a good one. Sure, yeah, yes, I'll say yes. There's all these new places that I want to go see.
Yeah, I'm a yes. I'm going somewhere. I don't know quite, you know, who knows at this point. I don't know. I can't remember the schedule, but, yeah, I'm going somewhere. Remember.
Yeah, we know what our away games are going to be, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, however, I have discovered I really enjoy going to games where my team's not playing because it's very enjoyable. So maybe I'll go do that instead. I don't know.
All right, two more. Should we begin a campaign to have Post Malone do a halftime show?
Yes.
Ute fans. Yes. No, maybe so.
Yes, of course. Can we please? That would be the we had Kay Scott come back and do it last year during homecoming.
Yeah, his microphone didn't work. They messed that up.
I know, the sound didn't work. That was awful. I felt so bad because I wanted to hear. I like his rap that he does. Yes. 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 Posty, come on.
And I'm not a fan of his music. That's not my thing. But you know what? I would be a yes. That'd be cool. He's a Utah man.
I know.
So
he is.
Yeah, absolutely a yes. And then here you go, everybody. So when the day comes that Witt retires, should there be a statue erected for him at the stadium? Yes, no, maybe so.
Yes. Duh.
Or just his calves. Let's do that.
Just his calves.
Just a statue, just his calves.
A big statue of just calves and some weights and like an exercise bike because he exercises every day. Or, I mean, you need his muscles because he showed us his guns on the Pat McAfee show this year.
That's true.
Yes, we absolutely need a statue of him. All right, here's one of mine.
Oh, all right.
And then we'll get out of here. Will Crybaby Caleb be drafted first? Is he going number one?
No.
No.
I don't know if that's, if I'm being rational or that's my emotions speaking there. But I gotta be honest with you. The way he's acted this year, I would be scared to death to put my franchise on his back. I'm just saying, when you won't talk, you go cry in your mother's arms, you won't talk at a press conference, you whine and whine and whine. What kind of leader is that in the NFL? I mean, that worries, that would really worry me. So no, I wouldn't. I mean, when I just compare the way he handles himself to the way I saw Bo Nix handle himself and just some other QBs in the country, man, I'd be scared about that long term. So I'm saying no on that one.
Well, and yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels, obviously Heisman winner. He could be he could be taken. I am curious though with the chat. I want to know what you think, because I personally
with Jaden Daniels, I'm still questioning whether he's NFL. I mean, we have a new, you know, the NFL is different now because there's a lot of college influences, meaning the way they run offenses and running quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks and stuff like that. But the NFL is bigger and faster. There are guys that are twice his size that are as fast as he is. And I'm just saying, you have to be able to play in the pocket in the NFL if you're truly going to succeed. And, you know, that's how I see it anyway, in the long, for the long term. Oh, God.
401.
You know what? I need to, I'll offer a prayer tonight that that doesn't happen, and here and every night hereafter, so that it doesn't happen.
Hey, yeah. If it got the Raiders to actually being competitive, I could suck it up and be okay with it.
Huh? What?
I could.
I can't even imagine him in silver and black. That's just okay, I'm throwing that out. I'm not even to visualize that at this point.
Get rid of that.
So, okay.
All right. That's all my questions for.
I think that's it. Isn't that it?
Episode. I think that's it. Yes.
Anything?
Hey, everybody. Looking at the last little comments. Thank you to everybody who's in the chat, who's been participating. Again, make sure you give us a like, a thumbs up, make sure you're subscribed, following on all the other socials, and make sure you hit the notification button so that when we do go live, you'll get notified. We'll probably do maybe a little preview episode next week. It is a bowl game. It is game week next week.
Yeah, we need to do something.
So we'll be back next week. But yeah, make sure you're following along so you can always make sure that you don't miss it. And go Utes.
Go
huh?
Utes. Go Utes.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.